We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And Charlamagne the God.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
The voice of the culture.
People watch The Breakfast Club for, like, news and really be tuned in.
It's one of my favorite shows to do. Just because y'all always keep it 100, y'all keep it real.
They might not watch the news, but they're on Twitter. They're on Facebook. They're, you know, they're listening to The Breakfast, the Breakfast Club.
Get your ass up.
Your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
It's Weez from Jersey, man. Brick City, Jersey. How y'all doing, man? Good morning, Charlamagne. Good morning, DJ Envy.
What's up, brother? Get it off your chest,
Newark.
Man.
Newark, what's happening?
Yeah, yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Nah, I'm just Chuck calling in, man. I'm happy. I'm blessed, man. Thank God for my family. Woke up this morning. Me positive vibes. Just want to say thank you, man. I mean, thank God. And Envy, man.
That's beautiful.
I got a little problem with what you said earlier, man. Don't be supporting that vaccine, man. Don't promote that, man. Don't even put that on the airwaves like that. People, I'm just trying to tell people out there, don't even support that, man. Don't try to be no guinea pigs or none of that, man. For real, just stay. I mean, let people stay out of that vaccine, man. It's not good.
What if they offering 20 grand a shot?
I don't care. Yeah, your money ain't worth your life, man. It's not worth it. It's 20. If 20,000 is worth you walking around being sick or either gonna die or whatever, I mean, that's your choice. If you want to do it, go ahead and do it. But I want to do it. I don't care if they offer me. Maybe I'll do it for 200 mil. Maybe 200 mil. But even if they offer 200 mil, I'm not doing it.
There's a
problem. Okay,
my goodness. I got you.
All right, brother. Hello, who's this?
It's Social Stack.
All right, get it off your chest.
Man, I want to know, Envy, why these females are so unappreciative. I don't get it.
What you mean?
Like, don't disrespect all women like that. And stop
not
saying
all
the word
women,
female.
Not all women. I love my mother and I love my daughter. I'm a single father, but check this out. I left my female in my car for 3 months in Miami. 3 months. And every day she's telling me, you don't do nothing for me. Oh, y'all men all alike. Y'all don't do nothing for us. Y'all leave us down and out. Envy, how I leave her down and out when I left her a car for 3 months? I don't get it.
What kind of car was it?
You're stupid, man.
All right, I'm not going to say it's a foreign, but it's a nice little Equinox. You feel me? Nice little family whip. When I left it to her, in shape, 06, you know, nothing glamorous.
Well, she just not the girl for you.
Back,
she was other things.
And all that in it. Envy, how you get roaches in the 06? Car?
Well, you know you was having sex with her if she was roach infested. You know, that's kind of your fault, too.
I mean, she from the fucking beats. I ain't gonna lie. She from the fucking beats. But still, Envy, I ain't know they was gonna do it like that. Damn. Please, roaches in the car.
A 2006 and 2020, and you wonder why there's roaches in the car?
Charlamagne, I know how to take care of my cars. Come on, you know in the South, they be taking care of their cars. You can't even say that. Just because it's old school don't mean that you're gonna have your stuff dirty.
That is true.
You know what I'm saying? I try to keep it clean, and I don't understand. Is it me? Am I the reason why these females doing me like this? Because it's not the first time.
Every it's you. It is definitely you. Why you gave her a car anyway? Is that your girl? Well, that's not even your girl. That's just some girl met.
That was my girl. I was with her for like a little year. I had the little foreign thing, so I brought it up top to New York. You know how we do, Envy. We got to make it look good when we in New York. You know what I'm saying? So I left it a family car.
So you had a Chevy Equinox. How you make the Chevy Equinox look good in New York?
No, he said he got a foreign. He brought the foreign to New York and left the Chevy Equinox in out there.
He don't have a foreign.
What foreign you got, brother?
It was a rental. It was a little rental, a little Benz joint. You feel me? I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
I'm not up here to lie.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry. She did you dirty, bro.
But he definitely inspired me. When I see Envy with his whips, I said, man, I got to pull a little something out. You feel me?
I ain't got no roaches, though, bro.
Nah, she put the roaches in the car, Envy. She put the roaches in the car. It's the Miami females, man.
Well, first of all, I need y'all to stop screaming the word foreign so much. You know what I'm saying? Because I would like to tell y'all some of the 12 foreigns that are available. Toyota Tacomas, Toyota Avalons, Honda CR-V 2016s, Toyota Camrys, Honda Accords, Toyota Corollas. Those are all foreigns, too. Just want to throw that out there.
Hello, who's this?
What are we, comedians?
Shayna.
Hey, Shayna, get it off your chest.
I just want to thank God for this day.
That's right.
You know, I know. Look, I'm thank God for this day, for this job. I'm so blessed. I'm highly favored. I got my own business. And I just want to just thank God. That's all, guys.
Shayna, you're not just blessed and highly favored. You're blessed, black, and highly favored.
You're absolutely right. I am blessed, black, and highly favored. And I just want to thank God for it.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay. All right, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
I'm dialing.
Hey, what you doing, man?
I'm dialing.
I'm calling you.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed. 800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good morning. It's RJ. How y'all doing?
What's up, RJ? Get it off your chest, brother.
How you doing, King?
Hey, I was just calling in. Today's my fiance's birthday. You know, I proposed to her Saturday, so I just wanted to show her some love with the Breakfast Club this morning.
Okay.
What's that sensitive emotional cancer's name that you just got engaged to?
Her name is Miss Shaniqua Marsh. She's actually right here.
Let me speak to her.
Good morning.
My cancer brethren.
Shaniqua, good morning. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
What
y'all doing
today? How much did you
cry when you... We got something. I can't tell you right now. Surprise.
Okay. All right.
How much did Shaniqua cry on Saturday when you proposed to her? I know she's a sensitive emotional cancer like me, so I know she let them tears of joy flow.
You know, the moment was so special, we actually both cried, brother. So, you know, it was a good moment.
All right,
that's
bro.
Beautiful.
Well, love your queen, brother.
Love your queen. Don't say things like ride together, die together, bad marriage for life with your queen. Don't approach it like that, okay?
Black man on cheap.
There you go.
All right. You too now. Hello, who's this?
Yo. What's up, Envy? Wait, is Charlotte Envy there? Charlotte Yeter.
Is Charlotte there?
I'm here.
Okay, man. Every time I call, I've never talked to Yee. I don't know if she's never talked to me. But I want to talk about Moneybag. Yo, he bought his lady the Lambo truck. And his baby mama over here tripping. And I don't understand that because I guess supposedly she's the one who left him, but she over here comments and whoop the whoop. And I just don't like the baby mamas. I feel like they're too entitled.
You're a little too tied into this. I really don't know the story, but I can't see him having a problem if he has a new girlfriend. He's not with his baby mom and he wants to buy his new girlfriend something nice. I don't see a problem with that.
Yeah, I don't see a problem with that. The baby mama's over there tripping.
If I'm money back, yo, you know what I'm saying? I buy my girl who I'm with the Lambo truck. And, you know, I buy my baby mama a nice little Honda CR-V. You know what I'm saying? Maybe a Toyota Highlander. You know what I mean? A Subaru Forester. Those are nice SUVs for a baby mama.
Yeah. And I'm upset because I called a while back, probably like a month ago. And I asked you, Charlotte, for a book, and you said that y'all sent the book out. I still haven't gotten that book. It's been like a month.
You know why? And this is my fault. I'm not in the studio, and all the books are at the studio, I believe.
Yeah.
And so I don't have somebody up there to mail them out. So what I'm hoping is that, you know, when we get back in the studio, which I pray is in the next few weeks, I could just
start sending them out to everybody. But what I can do for you right now is I can send you a copy of The Unapologetic Guide to Black Mental Health by Dr. Rita Walker, which I think is an amazing book. You know, my book, Shook One, is about mental health and my personal, you know, struggles with anxiety and depression. But her book, she's an actual doctor, so she's an actual expert. I'm just an advocate telling people my experiences and inspiring you to go talk to the experts like Dr. Rita. Let me just send you the book on the experts. So if you leave your address right now, I will have that shipped out to you today.
Cool, I will. And could y'all add me on IG at Jabari.Brown, 2 N's?
Let me consult Moneybag Yo and see what he would do.
You stupid. All right, man. Have a good one. Hello, who's this? Hello? Hello?
This is Morato.
Oh, shoot.
Morato.
Damn, delayed response.
That's a very original name. Yeah. I've never heard that before.
Where you calling from?
I'm calling from Angola, Africa.
Africa. All right.
Africa.
Wow. All right.
The motherland. What's happening?
Get it off your chest.
Good morning.
All right.
Good morning, DJ Envy. Good morning, Charlamagne Tha God.
What's up, King?
Good
How are you?
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning.
Now, it's a very long distance call. I might spend here $100 just to make this call. I just want to say that this show is amazing. You guys are doing an incredible job, and I listen to you every day on my Apple Podcast, and I don't even know if the program was live. I just called.
Okay.
For some positivity.
Yeah.
Doing what you guys are doing. And keep inspiring us all.
What time is it in Africa right now, in Angola? What time is it?
It's 11:16.
Okay.
P.M. or A.M.?
A.M.
Okay.
All right.
Good to talk to you, brother.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, you can hit us up right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest on the line.
Hey.
Fifth, what up?
Everything's all good, man, running around.
Well, first of all, how's Jeremiah doing? You broke the news that Jeremiah was in ICU for COVID. How is he doing?
He's doing a little better now because I speak to Saeed, that's like right next, like in his camp. He was in intensive care and not responsive. At one point, and that's when Saeed called and told me what was going on. And then that's why I said it like, right away. But like I know some people who passed away from COVID, but they have other existing illnesses.
Right.
That it just really enhanced the joint and then knocked them off. And I'm like, I hate to see that happen. Like it would be because we haven't took it to our culture musically like that. Outside of Fred the Godson.
Yeah.
He had asthma, bad asthma.
So Jeremiah had no pre-existing conditions?
No, like they thought it was a few different things before
the ventilator.
They figured out it was COVID and they had him in there. They put that thing in his throat, like, yeah, mm-hmm. like he was really on a ventilator. Like, it's like real. What they say COVID is, I think we all experienced a version of it. Some sort of cold symptoms and things that made you feel like, whoa, let me stand out because this is real. Like in the very beginning, I went through that. Like, I'm like, they're saying that and I feel like I got a fever. And then later, I had so many COVID tests afterwards because you have to go through these clearances to be in the bubble on television shows, that it was like rapid testing all the time for me. So I feel better about it. But I didn't take the what's the name test to see if I ever
had it. You had it early on, and so that's why you haven't gotten it now, because you think maybe way back when it first started.
Yeah, I think in that very beginning, because I did feel like I was the cold symptoms and stuff, and I was like, what? Like, oh, no, I don't go out like with from a head cold. You go through all of this and go
You know, survive shootouts, all
but
type
really of you like, though, God, damn, I would say if you die. Had it, you like would recover this. Just because you are very, you know, particular about your health.
Yeah. Like, I try to stay in shape, you know, and for more reasons than probably the average person does. Mm-hmm. Because it's a part of, you know, your presentation is how people see you. Just take care of yourself. You know, I said, Buster got himself back in shape. You see that?
Well, you were making fun of Buster for a good year. That was probably part of the reason.
I helped him. And I would get some of them boys on them bikes. Every get on that bike ride for like 35, 36 miles. I saw that. I was like, God, look, I rode 10 miles. I came back looking at the bike different.
Is it hard to stay in shape the older you get, Fifth?
Hell yeah. Man, like, I get on the treadmill. Like, I used to run super, like, super fast on the treadmill. The first time, now I got to ease into it now.
Same here. Knees be hurting like a motherfucker.
Like, yeah, you're like, where did this come from? My back has feelings now. Sometimes I wake up, that's like, no, we're not doing that.
You know, Phil, I thought about you this weekend, man, because I was looking at Jeezy and Gucci. I said, if Jeezy and Gucci can put their differences aside after all the smoke they had, there's hope for you and Ja. Am I correct?
No. But look, I do love you, though. No, look, I do love you. And you know, whatever you say to me is fine. It's just the way I feel about y'all, period. Like, I watched the show. I've been a crazy fan of it. There was one point they asked you something, and it was about how you feel, Black Lives Matter or something like that. They asked you something, and you was like, I have no feeling about it. Like, you know, no question about it. And I was a little bit disappointed only because I feel like you and Van Lathan are guys that, as far as the journalists, when they're talking and stuff like that, that's a journalist on the radio, you're not writing it, but it comes out and writing it regardless, right? Because it could cover the things, the statements and the things that people say on the joint. When, like, at certain points that I said things to people that they go, ooh, like, I'm glad he was there to say that. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? And it's just because, like, a lot of times when you don't posture yourself, like, even the gangster energy, it's a part of the culture. Like, with hip-hop music, it's closest thing to street culture. So you're gonna see more casualties, you're going to see more street things happen to artists connected to hip-hop. Like, look at this week. Crazy shootings in hip-hop.
Yeah.
That energy lives. Like, the music lives with this is where it's coming from. So now it's starting to be a little more visible. Like, I even had a television show. It's about 700 unsolved murders in hip-hop, more than any other genre of music.
This is great information. I don't know how we got here based off the question I asked you, but this is great information.
It's the art of the spin. You know, I feel like we're going to end up somewhere around Trump. So just start spinning early.
All right, we got more with 50. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it. When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue with its powerful V6 turbo engine. Well, we had time to see all the animals. Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Fifth. Charlamagne?
You know what I wanted to ask you about, Fifth? You know, a lot of rappers been using Mini Men lately.
Yeah.
21 Savage, Pop Smoke. How do you pick and choose which records you want to clip?
You know what? When I heard the records, it was a hit record. Both of them. Like I'm when 21 Savage said that, I was like, yo, I felt like his record was a hit that he didn't need to play the part at the end, but creatively, it was setting the tone for him. And I think it resonates stronger, that record, because they feel the way I felt at that point. It was a war chant at that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because like, he did address some issues, like even with Jeezy on that record.
Would you ever clear a record for one of Irv Gotti's artists?
Have no. They don't need to be in my voice. They're going to say the wrong thing anyway. See, they don't even want people listening to my records. Look, hey, girlfriend, you got to imagine he's telling his girlfriend, oh, no, don't. I don't want you listening to that. It's different. You would think that I hate them with the passion that they dislike me with because they're going through a continuous ass whooping of my success. When people tell you the best way to get a person back is to do good, that's not a lie.
Word.
Like, even when people say things about me, like, my son's mom was upset with me all the time. Like, that's so old. Like, we haven't been in a relationship for 20 years, 18 years, right? So when you say it now, I'm like, I'm sure I could do what I'm doing longer than you could do what you're doing. Because you're upset, and I'm not. I'm enjoying myself, right? Still running around doing anything. I believe your energy provides the ability for you to be productive. If you're not in a good space, you can't make the next thing happen, right? You know, and that's the way, look, a lot of times I don't really get affected by how people feel about me. If I cared enough about it, I would be crazy already. Consistently, like, you look, now, particularly you guys, I feel more comfortable having this conversation with y'all because of what the show is, what it is. Now, I come to y'all, we'll talk about them offering me $1 million to go to Trump's inauguration, right? I passed them $1 million.
But they offered $1 million, and you said nah.
$500,000 and it went up to me while I was still confused with whether I should do it.
Right.
Why were you confused? Just because of the money?
He was needing it for the same reasons you see now. He participated with different artists like that, like for the black vote. And I'm going, but nah, I ain't going to put myself in that position because I don't know what I had to do to recover from it and be honest with you. And I'm looking going, nah, I'll pass. And you see later when you see I'm watching the news, and they go CNBC, across CNBC, by this tax plan, and it's at 62%. I go, oh, yo. They never talked about that part in the debates. See, it's because COVID is such an issue, it overshadowed everything else in those plans. This right. is why the following day, my Instagram post is on the cover, puts me on the cover of the newspaper.
Right.
People go, oh, well, why don't you say this? I get all these phone calls about it, because I know you don't feel like that. Why you don't say this? And I'm like, why do you care to fix it? See, if you can't be used, you're useless. Just don't use me till I get a chance to use me or until I'm all used up. If they're deciding to take that post and make it the cover of the newspaper, okay. It doesn't change my intentions or what I would actually do.
So Wayne definitely got a check then.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Paid, but easily, he got paid. He had the sweater and the picture at the...
No, I knew that.
Did you really speak to Chelsea Handler? Did y'all really have a conversation?
Yeah, we talk. What's the name? Chelsea, she's, you can see it in a communication. Our personality is so, it's fun.
Have you cashed in yet, though? She made you an offer. Have you cashed in?
And then she started talking about, oh, like he's some kind of hunk or something. It's like, what's wrong with him?
And Fifth, how we know you didn't get paid to tweet that about Biden's tax plan, though?
I mean, I didn't get paid for that. I didn't do that. You know, like that was named, when I did just put it up, it was, how did I know that they were going to put it on the cover of the newspaper?
Right.
I didn't know that.
You have said before, though, that Trump has some qualities that you feel like you possess also.
Yeah, yeah. The ability to believe in yourself. Like, he's a little, I think most successful people are a little crazy. Mm-hmm. They have to be. You develop passion in the area that you're in. And you got to believe me. Look at the money you put into real estate. Mm-hmm. How much money you put into it. You develop a comfort with it when there's not 100% comfort like there. Like there's things that can go wrong, right? Like when we went into a recession where people's real estate was worth half of what it was worth and they were all underwater. And we can go in that direction without any area feeling like that's an issue. What? And being able to suppress that when it's happened in the past would just say that in order to actually make it, that would be blocking you if you were thinking about that. The only thing that separates us is passion, right? There's no such thing. You got a lot of people that are on radio. You got more people on podcasts and blog posts all over the place. And then they still want to hear your voice in 36 markets. It says it's stronger. I listen to it because it puts me up on what's going on, and it's being said in a way that I can completely grasp what it is. Like, what is it?
We had 100 plus markets, Fifth. Just want to throw that out there.
30, over 100.
Yeah,
but who's counting?
Yeah.
100 plus, something like that?
Yeah, 100 plus markets.
36 when I was doing the math, but last time.
Let me ask you a question before we get out of here, because I know you got to go. Do you ever regret anything you have said or done to anybody?
You know what? I don't apologize enough, right? Like, if I say something, a lot of times my intentions are what the malice of you. When you're in the public space, a person can look at him and say, no, I don't like that. Like, you see the social media, you're like, I never liked him anyway. And I'm going, cool, then you never f***ing mattered. Right? You never f***ing mattered. And why would I care about what you think if you have nothing to do with the success that I'm having in my life? You know?
Is it ever easy to come tell you sorry? Are you forgiving at all? Like, if somebody says sorry?
If they haven't gone over my mark, I'm a cancer, right? There's certain things that they do, and I can hold on to things better than other people can, to be honest with you. Like, sometimes things get older, these people don't get older. Like, I still look at them when you said what you said about me, like, I'm looking, oh, okay. And it might have been how you felt at the moment, and it passed. And I look at them, and I'm going, I don't know why you felt that way. So I can't look, and I go, okay, well, maybe this person's just not somebody that I'm supposed to have a relationship with, you know?
Life comes on this Wednesday, 10 to 11 on ABC.
December 6th, don't forget Power Book 2, because that is my show. That's awesome. Yeah. I was disappointed when it ended. I was like, wait a minute, what just happened? But it's back on December 6th, right?
6th, yeah. Be back in action with that. You get a chance to see Mary and Mep today.
There you go. Well, we appreciate you for checking in, Fifth.
We're here because you're looking for the best of the best of the best.
The Breakfast Club is back with another memorable interview.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
He done cursed us out. Tell him, get it off your chest, Birdman.
I said it already. I ain't got to talk no more.
Because I don't understand the angle. Like what?
I said it already.
So why come here?
I did it already. I'm here. So what's happening?
I mean, it's all good, but I'm saying here. Why?
And I'm here. What's happening?
I'm all good, but I'm saying, why come here just to curse us up?
What's happening, man? I wanted to see you. I wanted to talk to you on your man and your face.
Absolutely.
You understand me? I knew a few places you was at. I could have pulled up, but I don't think that was gangster. I wanted to come look in your face like a man and tell you how I feel.
Okay.
You understand me? Straight up like a man.
So what's the issue?
Ain't no issue. If it was an issue, you'll feel me. I just come to let y'all know, stop, put some respect on my name. You understand me? When y'all saying my name, put some respect on it.
Did you pull up on Ross that way or Trick Daddy?
Man, I'm pulling up on you.
Yeah, but I'm the radio guy. Why pull up on the radio guy? Don't act tough with the radio guy.
I hate my y'all finished or y'all done? I ain't got no more talking. Let's rock.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, grand opening, grand closing.
All right. Well, there you have it.
Nah, we good. You know,
there you have it.
Man, what about all my notes?
We good. That's it. Damn, quickest man. Breakfast Club interview ever. For that.
Well, that's The Breakfast Club. Our shortest interview ever.
Good morning.
Well, if you just joined us, Birdman came up here and the interview didn't go that way.
You knew it was going to go that way.
It was very
Stop
quick.
It. He was very upset.
From our understanding behind the scenes, he wanted to just come and address some things.
Yeah, he wanted to come. They said he was excited to come, that he wanted to come talk to us. He wanted to get some things off his chest, and he did. So let's actually play, because we went, you know, as soon as you walk into this room, we start taping immediately, because we never know.
Yeah, because there's always some good stuff before or after. And my, go, let's play. Let's
so,
play.
So this is what
this
happened.
What happened when Birdman, as soon as he walked in.
As soon as he walked in.
Y'all ready?
Yes, sir.
I want to start this all straight, telling all three of y'all, stop playing with my name.
Let's go on there. Let's go.
Stop playing with my f***ing name.
Let's go. Just do it on camera.
Stop playing with my name.
Let's go right on there.
When my name come up, respect it.
Let's go.
Stop playing with my f***ing name. All three of y'all, stop playing with my name. I ain't gonna say it no more.
Here we go. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne. Right.
Now, the reason I kept saying let's go is because the cameraman was taking his time.
We don't waste no good content.
I was like, let's go.
You will not come in here and curse us out, and we're not going to get it on camera.
We're not taping. That's
like,
let's go.
And not get it on the radio.
We were trying to tape it quick. The cameraman was taking his time.
But what happened was Birdman came in here and tried to curse us out.
Right.
To shake up the interview before the interview started.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking that the interview would be sweet, but it wouldn't have been. We just still asked the questions we wanted to ask.
Right.
Well, he tried to do the intimidation thing. Came in here with like seven guys.
Mm-hmm.
you know? And my thing is, yo, anything I've ever said about a person on the radio, I'm going to say to their face. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking if you come in here, you come in here to address those issues.
Right.
That right there, to me, that was some sucker stuff.
Yeah, that's anything we do up here. If we talk about you or make a comment about you, when you come up here, we're going to make that same comment.
I don't like the coming up here just trying to show out on the tough guy.
Sometimes people try to plan to come up here and do certain things.
Don't try to be tough to the radio guys, especially when people like Trick Daddy has been up here. What did Trick Daddy have to say about Birdman?
Let's play the audio.
I've done business with Birdman. Mm-hmm. Some are good, some is bad. I just think when you're trying to be a CEO and you're trying to be a rapper and you're trying to be a ladies' man and you're trying to be a girlfriend, and you trying to be
a girlfriend.
A Crip and a Blood.
You trying to be a girlfriend?
Why you call him a girlfriend?
I don't know. That's what they said.
Oh, you mean what?
I'm like DJ Khaled. I got it from the screen.
Okay, and Ross was up here.
Yeah, Ross was up here talking about
Birdman. What
he had
Ross
a beef
say?
Between Wayne and him, and he spoke about it. What's your relationship with Birdman?
I don't have one with Birdman. For me to see the way things are transpiring, I can't respect that, and I don't respect it.
Have you had that convo with Birdman, boss to boss? Like, yo, you need to treat your people better?
Not at all. I mean, that's what I wanted to build my team after, the way they kids was molding together, the way they family was.
Right.
So for me to see this, that's a no-go. They know how I play. Birdman know how I get down. He was in Miami a long time. He know Double M active.
How does that work now, you know, because he's in Miami, like,
ain't
he
in
still
Miami
got
right now.
Oh,
ain't okay. In Miami right now, but it ain't about telling nobody where they could go. I ain't with that. That's fake talk.
We know who the that Drake signed to is now. Yeah, we figured it out.
Should have been easy.
The Breakfast Club. The Breakfast Club is back.
Bring it back.
With our best of interviews.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Brother Love is here.
Damn. Yeah.
Just call me Love.
Just call me love now.
Just Love now.
Just Love?
I know it changes according to your mood, so you're in a love mood.
He's in a love mood.
I just needed to simplify it. I make things so complicated sometimes, and I'm already black, so I'm already a brother. So you don't need to say that. You can just hit me with the love.
I have told people I feel like Diddy's energy has shifted.
Yeah.
Because I always used to get bad vibes from you, but mm-hmm. now it seems like you're just in a different zone.
Yeah. I used to always get bad vibes from you also.
That's what I thought. I said the same thing. I said maybe it was me. I changed. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. No. I think we both have changed. We all are evolving. It takes time to really kind of connect and understand the power of it. You know, you can speak about it. I spoke about it for years. But, you know, I've had my ups and downs. If I'm going through something or if I'm not feeling a cat or whatever it is. But now I don't feel any of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I just feel love, you know, even for my enemies, you know.
Life is beautiful. Now, I felt very old this weekend. I had a birthday party, me and Envy, and your son was hosting with us.
Which one?
Justin Combs was the club. Does it feel weird partying with your son?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't really feel weird because it's important for me to make sure that I show them how to move out here, mm-hmm. you know. So it's more that I don't hang out with them a lot. If I have, you know, have a club date or something like that, then we'll rock together. But, you know, yeah, I'm not trying to really just be partying in the club with my kids.
What if you walked in the club and you saw your boys with another vodka at the table and not Ciroc?
Yeah, they have a problem. They wouldn't be able to come back home.
Oh, well, then I'll leave this part of the story out.
Don't start that. Don't do that. Don't do that now. He asked him why. He didn't get money. Don't do that to that man.
Justin, we call it Justin. change the locks, y'all.
But it has to feel good to see what a great job you did raising your kids.
Oh, man.
One of your sons, he's modeling for Dolce & Gabbana and rapping, and your daughters are beautiful. We saw the video of you giving one of your daughters a dog, you know, and how she reacted, which was really sweet.
It's incredible seeing them grow up and actually be nice human beings and actually have their head on straight. Because, you know, it didn't have to end up that way. Mm-hmm. When you think about a lot of the other celebrity families, you know, it gets a little weird sometimes, you know. And they haven't been acting weird yet. And you know what I'm saying? And, you know, we all go through our things. But, you know, I'm very, very proud of them, you know, very, very proud of them as men, and also the girls, the way that they're growing up, and just the way that they treat people is just like outstanding.
Right. Yeah. I see Christian he's been dating a girl for 2 years. So what's that conversation like now? You know, it's getting a little serious. It's getting a little older, and this is where you started going a little wild.
Yeah, I was like, nah, don't play yourself. Don't play yourself. We not about to be Puff Granddaddy. That's not happening. You know what I'm saying? Or everything's on pause. I went a little further, but you know, I don't want you know, you know, I want to respect his girlfriend's privacy, but you know, I sat down, had a conversation with them, and we all on the same page. I hope.
Told them wear condoms and make sure they protect themselves. Make sure they don't. You don't want no babies.
Yeah. No, I mean, not right now, you know?
Right.
Now, I got to ask, on Ellen, you said you were engaged.
I ain't finished yet.
You ain't finished with babies?
No, I ain't finished yet.
You said you were engaged for 4 hours.
Yeah, without a doubt, I love children.
You said you were engaged for 4 hours.
You don't love children?
I love them. I got two. I'm trying to get a boy. Yeah,
they're both trying to get more.
Yeah. There we go. I'm trying to get 10. It's a race.
I ain't doing 10.
You really want 10 for real?
I could go to 8 without a problem. I could go to 8
Can't
real
stop.
Quick. Can't stop, won't stop.
So how would that work, though? Would you have them with your current woman, or are you bringing some new troops?
I would hope so.
I don't know.
Hey, hold on. Let me go do this on the side. Don't get this man in trouble again.
The African king right here. He might want more than one wife.
Don't get this man in trouble again, man.
I am a king. but I'm not doing that, though. You know, whatever's supposed to happen in the future is going to happen, but that's something that I want. Mm-hmm.
Now, you were engaged for 4 hours.
And I would only have it. I would only have it with my girl, of course.
Just okay, to
make sure.
Let's clarify.
Just make sure.
Exactly.
You don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah.
Last time we got Diddy in trouble, I don't want no problems.
Yeah.
I think I got in trouble for Diddy in trouble.
Now, back to my question.
Okay.
You said you were engaged for 4 hours when you were on Ellen.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get out of an engagement? Like, did you just say, I was just kidding? Like, how does it not happen?
I acted like it didn't happen.
You was drunk.
I ain't even act like, I mean, I was definitely, you know, in the spirit. But, you know, the next day I just, you know what I'm saying? I just, you know, treated it like we had a great night last night, you know?
She never brought it back up? She never brought it back up?
I mean, she brought it back up, and I was just like, you know, maybe we should just, like, wait a little while. Yeah.
Okay. So, Diddy, why
I can't tell y'all which girlfriend, but, you know, it definitely happened.
How many girlfriends you got, Diddy? We only know one.
I'm talking about...
In the past.
This didn't happen right now. You just assumed it was Cassie, mm-hmm. I understand.
Right.
Yeah, but I was just telling a story about just a wild night that happened.
That is a wild night.
Years.
You lucky you weren't in Vegas, but it got married.
I was in Vegas.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Oh, see, that's nothing. That's a good lie to say in Vegas. Let's go get married right now. That ain't nothing. In Vegas?
I mean, I got proposed to.
Oh, they proposed to you?
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And I said yes.
What?
I said yes.
That's what she get.
Did she have a ring?
Huh?
Did she have a ring?
No, we didn't have no ring on us. That was the good thing. No. Definitely. She definitely had a ring, and she definitely put it on me, but it wasn't. It was like just... one of her rings that I guess I complimented her on. You know what I'm saying?
Nice ring. Well, it's yours. We're getting married.
Hold on. Did you at least smash it that night?
Yeah.
Okay, so you told her what you had to say.
No.
You told her what you had to say to get the draw.
No. We was in a relationship. This is not coming out of nowhere.
Oh, got you.
Come on, man.
He's painting you as a savage over there.
Oh, man. King Diddy. King Love.
But you can't say no. The polygamist.
No, I'm not.
When your girlfriend proposes to you, right? That's awkward.
Yeah. But it was just all in the spirit of fun. It wasn't like a real serious thing, you know. But it was just something that was interesting that I did, you know. I did say yes and did get, you know, proposed to.
Even when you talk about polygamy, though, we do watch you and be like, yo, man, Diddy got a nice little setup going on. Because when you be at like Thanksgiving, and all your baby moms be there and your girlfriend and all your kids, that looks dope. A lot of guys can't get that off.
Yeah, you have to take care of everybody. And if everybody's happy and you're taking care of them and you're respecting them, then you can have a meeting like how I had. Can we all just get along meeting?
Mm-hmm.
You know? It'd be better for all of us.
How long did that take?
That probably just happened this year, just with, you know, everybody, the whole squad.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you have to start to treat your family like a tribe. If you have other mothers of your children, the separatism starts to wear just on the family as a whole. And we all in it together, you know? So we might as well figure out how to coexist. And they get along lovely, laughing and talking and partying and dancing and chilling and shopping. And, you know, everything is good because they're good people, though, too. Mm-hmm. They're good people. It was just making sure, it's just about honesty, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? And just making sure, like, everybody's clear. And, like, everybody's very respectful as women, just as themselves. They're not really into, you know, fighting or beefing like that.
Yeah, you have to be honest. Women. I can't see you on a boat somewhere on a yacht and I didn't know you were there. Then everything gets crazy. We got to just keep it open. Like,
I don't understand that one if I was on a boat. You have visions of me being on a boat and yacht and I don't tell my girl? Oh, my God. The 70-30 has me out here like the worst. Ladies, let me explain something to y'all right now. I'm the best. I'm not the worst. I'm the best. You know what I'm saying? I've had my different things and point of views and stuff like that in the past, but I'm cured now. Love and everything is all right.
All right, we got more with Diddy. When we come back, don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
Put that on that beat. Shawty made that.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We have Diddy in the building. Yee.
Well, let's talk about The Four, because we've all been watching the show, and we do like watching The Four.
Yeah. Explain The Four, because a lot of people are confused with the concept of The Four.
Okay. It's like vocal Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
You have the four best singers we could find at that time.
Mm-hmm.
We start where all the shows finish. So we start with the actual four that were the best out of all the auditions.
So you guys picked the four already?
Yeah, so we picked the four. Then you could be at home sending your audition to the4music.com. Then you could be on the show and you could challenge someone. So like there's somebody, her name is Javaya.
Okay.
You see Javaya up there. And you're like a singer from Canada or whatever. You could go, once you get past the judges, you come and perform for us. Once you get past the judges, then you could go and you could go to Javaya and say, I want to challenge you.
Mm-hmm.
And then they basically have like a singing battle, a like a rap battle. Yeah, so it's like a sing-off and it's real combative and also...
So if Javaya lose, Javaya's off the throne. She's gone. She's out of here.
Yeah, so if Tony challenges Javaya, so Tony is just somebody I made up.
Right.
And he beats Javaya, then he takes her seat.
And Javaya's gone, no more on the show.
Yeah, right.
And what's the end game for the show? Like, what is the
the winner win or the four, the top four mm-hmm. win, and how long is the season? Do they get record deals? Do they get money?
Yeah, you get a record deal with Republic mm-hmm. Records. Then you get us, the panel. You get me and Khaled and Charlie Walk and Megan Trainor.
I saw you had to check Charlie Walk a little bit. on episode two. he kind of got a little snappy with you. You had to remind you. He was like, remember you talking to Diddy.
Yeah, nah. It's the you know, the stuff with the show, it's intense in there because mm-hmm. it's like a coliseum, so our audience is totally different. The audience energy and everybody's like, ah. And the testosterone is up and the hormones and it's crazy. And, he just felt like going a little too far. And it was all good. We reel it back in and we keep it moving. But, I think Charlie Walk is that guy that you want to have your record in his hands, mm-hmm. you know. And also, we have iHeartRadio. Mm-hmm. They get to win that iHeartRadio Power Play.
Yeah, that program, the Cali program.
That means you get played once an hour, every hour on every station across America.
For a long time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You get your record fully supported.
Right. If your record don't pop after that, you trash. Mm-hmm. Seriously.
Yeah, and so we really feel like we have something the other shows don't have. Because me and Cali, we're going to stay involved. We're going to executive produce the album. We're going to do their social media, blast them out there. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it was something that was special.
Khaled made a comment on the last episode. What did he mean when he said this?
I remember Diddy saying, if you get on your knees.
What was he talking about?
I said, if you get on your knees, you're supposed to cry.
Oh.
If you're singing a song.
Oh, okay. We segueing into the Drink Champs interview when you was with Nori and Fab and Jada and mm-hmm. everybody. They made a compilation video of you because they said you were sounding real suspect on the interview.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Of course. Nah, I didn't see it.
No, I didn't see it.
You didn't see it?
I swear to God.
Oh, come on, man. You saw that on World Star and on the gram.
Check this out. When they started playing the game, the pause game, I would definitely.
That came from Harlem, too, by the way.
Yeah, came from Harlem. I definitely would say some, oh my, ooh, the crowd would be like, whoa, did he just say that? You know what I'm saying? I don't play games, y'all know. You know what I'm saying? I'm a grown man. I don't play games. But, yeah.
Did you
compilation?
Go?
Nah, I was coming off of being in Miami a night of partying. I don't really remember what I was saying. You know what I'm saying?
Would you like a reminder?
Yeah, sure.
Play some.
Hey, yo, listen, yo, I love it all. I love it all, man.
I like when you like this, Daddy.
Yeah, when you put my bag.
Daddy, I like when you right scrambling here, right and here. Scraping for
That was you.
Scrambling.
you said, I like when you do it like that, Daddy. When you scrambling and scraping for shit.
Hey, man.
Like, I don't know what I was talking about. Hey.
Nah, I mean, I was
You don't go back and look at that stuff and laugh?
I mean, it could be funny. I don't really be on it like that.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
I'm sure we can put Charlamagne's compilation against Diddy's compilation.
Oh, we have a bunch. We put
I mean, I also don't do it because I know I'm bad at the game.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I know I say like reckless stuff out my mouth that's just not maybe adding up to with somebody who maybe somebody who's homophobic, but I'm not homophobic and I really don't care. You know what I'm saying? But I'm bad at the game, and it's probably hilarious. I would love to see it. I would love to see the video compilation.
It's hilarious.
50, yeah. 50 came up here, and he was giving you flack for the asking Fab to party. So he'll ask you to play the clip, man.
Yeah, play the clip. Go ahead.
Why won't you party with me for your birthday, man?
We partied for my birthday before. You came to my party.
No, but me and you ain't never really party, you know what I'm saying?
I asked 50 about that, and he said you did the same thing to him. You asked him to take him shopping.
Yeah. I thought he needed some clothes. What? I'm a nice guy.
Why are y'all not?
I don't have no beef with
I don't know why.
With Fifth. He loves me. Hmm. He loves me.
Do y'all really
can't
have
see
a beef?
It? I mean, y'all can't see
it. No, we can't see
Y'all can't
it,
see
man.
That he loves me.
But see,
you really, hold on, you really think that's hate? You really, when you really break it down, you've been out here a long time. You know he loves me.
I don't think he like you.
You know he loves me.
I don't think he like
you. Okay.
But why? But why not? Y'all, just, y'all both passionate. Y'all both.
I don't know. Yo, check this out. I don't know.
Like y'all
I don't,
both the same.
No, we are not.
Okay.
We are not the same.
But, I mean,
we are not cut from the same cloth.
You work hard.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, I respect that. I don't never hit him with no, you know, nothing. I don't even think of no other man. Besides, if I'm thinking about another man, I'm thinking about uplifting. I'm not thinking about all that. All them gnats. You know, they can't really touch me. Y'all, at the end of the day, y'all see and y'all know what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, the track record. Y'all know the business acumen. Y'all know the community service. Y'all know what I'm about, you know. And when he does that, it's like funny to me. I don't really take it personal. I know he has a different sense of humor. And he's just not in my life. We don't have to never cross paths. And I will never say nothing negative about him, you know, because that's just not me.
It feels like something must have happened, though, like that we just don't know about behind the scenes.
He loves me.
That maybe a situation, a deal went bad. Nah, I don't know what it is.
Sometimes people that feel like they don't like you and they act like that, they really love you. Like, I'm not like, you know, just saying it to say, you know? But it's something about me that has him on me all the time. And I'm not going nowhere, so...
You have been giving out a lot of money lately. You gave French $200,000
mm-hmm.
for his charity.
You donated money to us.
You
for
donated
change.
$150 to us.
Yes,
for change. For
you
change.
You almost gave the young boy $1 million contract.
Is that, no. I did not. Nah, that wasn't real.
Okay, the
oh,
young
that
man.
That wasn't real.
Yeah, that wasn't young real. Man.
Because you put it out there and then you took it back when the parents spoke. That never happened.
No. Why would I give a kid $1 million for a picture? That don't even make, that's not even good for
them. They said it was a modeling contract you offered.
For what? Ain't that much modeling
well,
in the world.
Put the pictures of my kids back in my pocket because I said, if you going to give me $1 million,
yeah,
did that cause problems at Sean John? Like all the other models, like, yo, we been here. Where are $1 million?
Nah, it didn't happen, so, yeah.
So where did that come from? You saw, you.
I mean, it just comes from a story off the internet, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Like
the internet. You know, the internet is crazy, man.
Now, we saw you with Mary J. Blige with her getting her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Shout out to Mary.
Mary J. Blige. You said you used to pick her up in your, what did you have?
I had a Volkswagen Rabbit. And I used to pick her up from Slow Bombs up in Yonkers. And I always remember her, like, getting in my car, you know, because freezing outside the way somebody gets in your car cold. And my heater wasn't working. And we trying to make sure that we could get to the studio. We have enough gas money. And then to see her there, see her get nominated for 2 Golden Globe Awards, and then to be able to present her star in Hollywood, it was a crazy, like life experience to be like, wow, if you really stay focused, really go hard, and really stick together, you know, we could do great things. It was just a beautiful moment, and I'm so proud of her.
All right, we got more with Diddy when we come back. Let's get on the Diddy Mini Mix. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. A Diddy Mini Mix. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We have Diddy in the building. Can you buy the Panthers? Is that a possible position? And what do we have to do as people to support?
The process has just started, so I would be able to give more updates on that maybe like in 2 weeks. But one of the things I want to say is that it was never about me wanting to buy the Panthers. It was always about we. It was always about, like, we need a team. I jumped out there to make sure that they understood that they have to consider, you know, some black ownership right now with 80%, 70% of the league being African-American. And it's just time. Like, if right now we don't own nothing. If we don't own nothing, then we don't have nothing. And we have to make that change. And I feel like that shift is coming. That we have to make sure that we have a seat at the table.
Have you put together an investment group?
Yes.
Now, you know, I'm sure you heard everybody talking about the 5 best lyricists on Bad Boy.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's break this down correctly, mm-hmm. right? Because I'm glad you're the person that we've been waiting to hear weigh in on this, right? It's about lyrics, bars, delivery, nothing else. Not star power, not album sales, nothing. And it's not even a diss to Mace. I just said
let
I don't,
him do let him do his list.
But I haven't explained what it is yet. Okay.
You're leading the witness.
I haven't said
leading the witness over there.
I said that Mace wasn't a top 5 lyricist on Bad Boy.
And I disagree.
Not saying he's whack. Bad Boy was stacked.
Right. But so Mace got busy.
And who was your top 5?
Big, Kiss, Styles, Chic, Black Rob.
And then I had G-Dep at 6 and Mace at 7.
Y'all tight entitled to your opinion. I'm definitely not going to step out with that. You know what I'm saying?
So would Mace be in the top 5?
Yes, he would be.
Where would he land, though? Sean Perez had him at 5.
He'll be in the top 5.
I think he's in that top 5, too.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah, that's it.
Why do you think people still have such a fascination with Big and Pac stories? Because you see, like, it's always a new documentary or a new something all the time.
I mean, it was a movie. I ain't going to lie to you. It was a movie. The movies aren't really even exaggerating. You know, it was just a crazy time. So I think that's really intriguing to people because it was so real. It was, like, so dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, you know, we was all just living on an edge that I don't even think, you know, people really have the stomach for right now. You know what I'm saying?
It's still unsolved. And so there's still questions people have. So they're still doing documentaries trying to figure out.
But it doesn't help with healing, though, does it? Like, it's like always, like, literally, it's always a new Big Pac documentary.
Yeah, nah. Well, you know what it is? It's like we're a part of history. And right now is like there, you know, our history it matters because we want to know, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Younger kids want to know what went on because they hear about Tupac and Biggie. It's such an, they grew up hearing their names. And then you go on a search to get as much information as you can. Mm-hmm. And, you know, every day there'll be many documentaries and many movies because both of them had such diverse personalities.
Right.
You know?
How much of the whole story, your legacy, do you want to tell while you're still here to tell it? Like, we saw the documentary,
mm-hmm.
but, like, how much do you want to tell?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to tell it all. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell it all, you know? I've lived an exciting life. I think it'll do well on the big screen.
Oh, so you going to, there's going to be a Diddy movie?
Yeah, one day.
Oh, wait.
Charlamagne, I plan on being great, man.
You are great.
I plan on having movies made about me. I plan on there being statues and different things like that, you know what I'm saying, man?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How did you and, I know one time you and Drake were rocking. How was that first conversation when y'all got back cool? I, you know, he did a song on the Lil Wayne mixtape. He mentioned he was at your house. We see videos of him at your house. Mm-hmm. How did that conversation come back around?
You know, we just bumped into each other and just kicked it. Just sat down and kicked it, two men. And, you know, had some real talk and kept it moving. It wasn't no need to be the end of the world, you know. And I didn't have no malice towards him. And it was just, one of those nights.
Right.
So we moved past it as men. And we was cool before. That's why everything went down. Because, you know, and then sometimes brothers have scraps. You know what I'm saying? And we got to be able to move past it. We got to be able to have scraps with each other and then move past it. You know?
Something happened in your life that made
I want to know, did you go to anger management or something?
Yeah, something like, happened in Diddy's life. That
like, what happened? Diddy's was it spiritual?
Which is a good thing. It's a great thing, actually. But it's something happened that just, Diddy just turned and became love.
Man, I think I was also, like, going through, like, a stressful time, too, you know? Probably, like, 2-3 years ago, and I was getting everything out my system.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, if you've been there, you understand that if you're, like, a person that has to always be on, like, the defense and,
mm-hmm.
and you know, be ready, then it's that's the energy that you bring, you carrying around with you. And, I mean, I just, once I sat down and had a talk with myself, you know, I just love, you know what I'm saying? It just connected with me. It was just like anything else is a waste of time.
On the defense with who though? You top of the food chain. Who?
Yeah. And that makes you on. You have to be on the defense.
You're defending your throne.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to. You have to have a guard up, man. You have to protect your person. You know what I'm saying? It's rough out here. You can't give everything to the game. You know, and so, you know, I looked at the game from my history as being very antagonistic, you know what I'm saying? You know, with our crew, they crew, this, that, and the other. And, you know, that's a part of growing up. You evolve and you see things differently. And so I think that's what it is. And then just, you know, getting closer, more of a connection to God, but being honest with yourself on, like, yo, how do I want to be seen? How do I want to make people feel, you know?
But you've always had a connection with God, though. Even with the Steve Stout situation when you hit him. It was over God, technically. No, I would say it was.
Yeah, I mean, God has always been in my life. Yeah, but you know, I had my days, and that's what, you know, that's what life is about. Mm-hmm. Being able to go through your low points and your high points, and those times when I would act out like that, that was the environment I was in. That's mm-hmm. That's the way it was feeling out here. Mm-hmm. You know, people getting punched in their face every day. Mm-hmm. Every day somebody's getting punched in their face. So I figured, why don't I be the first one to punch people in their face, since the punching in the face is going to start at some time. Mm-hmm. It was just the climate that was out there. So I definitely tripped and fell a couple of times.
What about the UCLA coach and J. Cole? Did you reach out to them and smooth things over with them?
Yeah, I did. Yes, I put all of that in my past. You could bring up all 20 different things, Charlamagne, and it's in my past. It's in my past. I want to be an example of a man that evolves.
It feels like the world needs a lot of love right now, too.
Yeah, and it does.
Going on, we have to be a lot more united.
Yeah, and we got to let things slide, though, too. Because it's just not worth it. Like, that has nothing to do with my life. I came in here by myself. I'm gonna leave here by myself. My time is precious. Can't have my time being, I'm beefing with you over here, or I'm not happy to see you, or I'm not happy to be here mm-hmm. in the room with you guys. Like, I'm happy to be here. You know what I'm saying? I'm happy to see y'all. I haven't seen y'all. This is like, you know, we're all an extended family, you know, of each other. So when I come in the room, that's the way I want it to feel, because that's genuinely what's in my heart.
All right. Well, we thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you. Everybody tune into The 4 on Fox, 8 p.m. 8 p.m. Everybody keep tuning in. Hashtag The 4. Thank y'all so much for your support. And God bless y'all. Happy New Year to
yes,
The Breakfast
sir.
Club.
All right. It's The Breakfast yeah. Club. It's Diddy.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
Get donkey of the day, yeah, you dumb ass. You get donkey of the day, yeah, you dumb ass.
You are a donkey.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day, huh? I'm gonna fatten all that shit around your eye.
They want this man to throw them blows, man. They wait for Charlamagne to tap these gloves. Let's go.
They had to make a judgment of who was gonna be on the Donkey of the Day. They chose you.
Yeah. The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Yeah, Donkey of the Day goes to a TV reporter named Natalia Escudero.
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 Oh,
Escudero.
My goodness.
Roll the R, man.
Roll the R.
No,
Escudero.
Roll the R. That's what he means.
Natalia Escudero. Now, if you watch The Breakfast Club on YouTube or see us on Revolt TV, then you know there is a young man who looks like he's from Iraq or Iran sitting by DJ Envy. No need to be afraid for any of us because that man's name is DJ Dramos. All right? Don't let the beard make you think he's some type of terrorist. The guy is harmless, and he happens to be Puerto Rican, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm going to lean on him heavy for this one. Now, today's Donkey of the Day, I'm sure the Latino community will appreciate more because they can understand what's going on. Even though Spanish is a second language to so many people here in America, okay, my four-year-old gets taught Spanish in pre-K. I do remember being younger and going to Memminger Elementary in Charleston, South Carolina. Drop on the clues bombs from Memminger Elementary. I don't even know if Memminger's still open, but they had us in a special class where they gave us a choice of learning Spanish or French, but it wasn't like I knew how to speak it fluently, and I clearly didn't retain any of that education because the only thing I know how to speak fluently is pure nigga. But enough about me. Natalia Escudero.
Escudero.
Escudero. She is listed as a Spanish TV reporter, and over the holidays, she was covering Spain's annual Christmas lottery called El Gordo.
Gordo.
I think I know what that means. Drum, what does El Gordo mean?
Fat.
Grab Empty's mic.
Hey, yo. Fat.
Fat.
The big one.
The fat one, right? The big one.
Yeah, literally the fat one.
Yeah. I heard Envy muttering that under his breath yesterday after he received the mold of my ass, but that's another conversation. Now, El Gordo is a state-run lottery with the world's richest draw boasting 2.24 billion euros, which is about 2.43 billion U.S. dollars. Nearly 15,000 people can have a winning amount that pays different amounts according to the travel website Barcelona Yellow. The winning number this year was 26590. And Natalia was one of the lucky ticket holders to have the correct number for a prize worth 400,000 euros, which is $444,000 for each ticket, okay? But the prize money can be split multiple ways. Clearly, nobody told Natalia this. And what happened next is exactly why you don't eat your empanadas before they are cooked. Now, this is where I need a translator. All my Spanish-speaking folks will know exactly what happened because they understand Spanish. The rest of us have to rely on myself and DJ Dramos to translate for you, okay? Let's go to RTVE for the report, please.
Aquí, aquí todos. Vamos. Bueno, 16 millones de euros. Me ha metido el champán en el ojo, ya no veo ni nada. 16 millones de euros, 40 décimos. ¡Y uno es mío!
Oye, Natalia, de verdad, o sea, ¿mañana no vienes a trabajar?
No.
Now, Dramos, translate what you just heard.
Okay, so she's celebrating that she won. She's got the lady with her that sold her the ticket.
Okay.
They're asking her if she is going to go to work tomorrow. She says, no, she's not going to work.
Okay.
I think she got champagne in her eye. It's a whole big thing.
Okay, you're right, because I was reading, and they say what happened was Natalia looked into the camera and said, I'm not going in tomorrow. She wagged her finger in front of the camera and said, Natalia doesn't work tomorrow. Her colleagues at the station didn't know she had won. Natalia jumped up and down in excitement. She screamed out, it's true, it's not the Truman Show. Now, if you don't know what the Truman Show is, it's the Jim Carrey movie where his character discovers his life is a televised situation. So she's trying to say this is real. The crowd is jumping up and down. They are popping bottles of champagne. They're spraying champagne like they just won the NBA championship. Natalia pulled the woman who sold her the ticket towards her and kissed her on the cheek as the champagne continued to spray. Natalia even repeated her lottery number, and she said she would never forget it. And here's the thing. After quitting her job live on air because she thought she had won this huge jackpot, she later learned that her share of this huge jackpot was only 5,000 euros, a.k.a. 5,500 American dollars. I don't even know what that means. Tell me, Drum. What?
Oh, God.
Oh, okay. Because a Spanish lottery costs 200 euros, so to make the game easier to enter, people can buy a decimal.
What?
A decimal? Decimal.
A decimal?
D-E-C-I-M-O. I don't know what it is, but it's a tenth of a full ticket, all right? And a tenth of a full ticket is 20 euros. So the ticket Natalia bought was only a tenth of a full ticket's share of the prize. That's why she only got $5,500.
And she can still take that one day off the next day.
No, she quit.
She quit. Yeah. Now, members of the public and Spanish media accused her of being unprofessional and lying to viewers. She apologized to anyone who felt deceived by her viewers, and she tweeted an apology for anyone who felt deceived by her reaction. This, my friends, is why you don't count your chickens until they're roasted and seasoned with adobo. All right? Please give Natalia Escudero
Escudero.
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 The sweet sounds of the Hamiltones, please.
Oh, now you are the donkey of the day. Ooh, you are the donkey of the day.
I can see why she would get excited, though, because it translates into $444,000 American, and a lot of people have been telling me since 2020, they've been seeing 444 a lot. Not the Jay-Z album, but, you know, when they look at clocks and stuff like
mm-hmm,
that.
Mm-hmm.
And 444 is a number sequence that lets you know you have nothing to fear. All is as it should be and all is well. And things that you have been working on will be successful. And it's an indication that you are surrounded by angels who love and support you. And their help is close at hand. So I can understand her being super, super duper excited.
Mm. When I see 444, I'm like, damn, I overslept.
Mm.
4:44 in the morning. I'm like, yeah. I should have been up 20 minutes ago.
Mm-mm-mm. It depends how you look at things. Yes.
The Breakfast Club. You're checking out the world's most dangerous morning show.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have a lovely lady with us this morning.
Miss Pat.
Miss Pat.
Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Pat. Where you from, Miss Pat?
Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Uh-huh. Born and raised in Atlanta, the inner city.
You've lived a very interesting life.
Oh, yeah.
To say the least.
I was a little crazy. Shot a couple times, trafficked a couple of cocaine, had a couple of STDs, a baby at 14.
All right, let's hold on now. Let's start from the beginning. Don't give us all that right now. So, how did you get shot?
I got shot twice. The first time I got shot, my kid's father shot me. He was very abusive. That was my daughter over there in the corner. That's her daddy.
Mm-hmm.
So, he shot me and it cracked my skull. And the second time I got shot was in an argument with a drug dealer. And he came back and shot me. And this, he was like, when I come back, I'm going to kill you. You know, black men, when they say they're going to kill you, they're going to kill you. So I don't know if you ever been shot. I didn't really think he was going to come back and shoot me, but he came back so quick and he was running, shooting. And I just think the bullets were going extra fast. And one of them hit me in my up under my arm and blew my nip off.
I heard that.
And
did you hear that?
I did. I read that story.
And really? I tell people all the time, you don't need two nippers. They overrated. Nobody uses two nipples anymore at the same time.
So did you breastfeed?
No. Oh. I had both two kids at the time.
You had kids at 15?
14 and 15.
Okay.
Yeah.
So her father, when he shot you in the head, how'd you survive that?
Well, it cracked my skull, and it just tore a hole back there. You know, I was so ghetto because I was 15 when he shot me.
15?
I got shot twice when I was 15. And I was like, Lord, I need to turn 16 because I'm tired of them shooting me. So
you should have been a rapper. You survived all them shootings. You survived all them shootings. Don't put an album out.
Well, it was a drug dealer. I think drug dealer was hotter than a rapper back then.
True.
So I went in. I got out the hospital, and I had a hole back there. So I wanted to go to the club with my friends. So my ghetto ass told her to finger wave around the gunshot wound. And I went to the club, and that thing was leaking. And everybody like, this bitch got a hole in her head.
Wait, you went to the club after you got shot? And to party?
To party. My friend finger, because you know you have to set up under the dryer, so she just hand dried it. My hair was laid with a hole in the back of my head.
So, goodness, hold on. You didn't go to the hospital?
I went.
Okay.
Yeah,
they let you out in 2 days?
A couple of days. It just cracked my skull.
Okay.
Like, it just tore a hole
just
back there.
Just cracked my skull? Damn it, man. You should have been there longer.
You didn't go to jail?
No, I was in love with him. You don't lock up your abuser in the beginning till you grow up.
But even if you didn't press charges, they didn't take him in?
No, because you know what? I was taught as a kid, you know, my mama was in a bad relationship and I had to learn later on in life. A lot of time with your parents, your mom go through, she handed down. Mm-hmm. So my mama told me, she said, Pat, if a man don't hit you, he don't love you.
Love
so
him,
I miss. Thought every time he beat me, that was love. And child, when he shot me, I said, he gonna marry me. He really loved me. He never shot his other baby mamas.
So why'd he shoot you? Like, what was the reason?
I was with another guy.
You gonna marry me because he shot me?
That's what I thought.
Oh, my God.
So you meet another guy, he caught you?
Yeah, and I go out and get guys all the time to try to make him jealous because he had a lot of kids and a lot of baby mama. And, you know, they tell you you're number one, so I'm thinking I'm number one. And when he would mess with them other baby mamas, I just go out and find me somebody else for him to beat up and get jealous of her.
How long did you stay with that man after that?
A while.
Really?
I stayed with him. I got married when I was, like, 19.
Oh, you married him?
Hell no!
Oh.
He work at Jiffy Lube now.
That's a good job. Ain't that wrong, Jiffy Lube,
Pat? Oh, please, child, please. My husband works at General Motors. You do the math.
So you stayed with him?
I stayed with him for a while, and I was in a very abusive relationship. He just kept having kids. Like, he got like 22 kids now. And every time I got pregnant, somebody else got pregnant, then the women would come to the trap. I think I knocked out more people than Mike Tyson did, just beating up his baby mamas on a regular. You know what really made me leave him alone? He started messing with this crackhead named Tinkerbell. And when he started messing with Tinkerbell, I was like, that's it. And he actually came to me, he said, if you sell my lady any more drugs, I'm going to beat the hell out of you.
Oh, so he was in love with the crackhead.
He was in love with the crackhead.
Now, I've slept with a crackhead or two in my life because I used to sell crack. So sometimes when they don't got no money, you get some or something like that. But I didn't fall in love with none.
Yeah, he fell in love with this one. I was like, that's it. And I went and I did a prayer, which is in my book. And I said, Lord, I've asked you several times to change. I asked you several times to change. I'm trying to say his name.
We'll bleep it out for you.
Thank you. I asked you several times to change him. But tonight I come to you and say, fuck him, change me. And I woke up and never desired him.
Was he upset about that? Because he seemed abusive. He didn't seem like he was going to let you go easily.
Well, he got me at 12, so I didn't know no better. I realized later in life I was looking for a father figure. I needed that man in my life.
He was a lot older?
Yeah, he was 22, married with a baby on the way.
And you was 12?
I was 12.
Well, we call that pedophilia.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I had her at 14. And he came and signed a birth certificate. You want to hear something crazy? He came and signed a birth certificate with his new girlfriend.
They didn't lock him up?
No, they let him sign. They don't care nothing about you when you poor and black in inner city. Mm. He signed both of the kids' birth certificate. Both of them have his last name.
How did you meet him?
And I met him at the skating rink. No, I met him coming. He went to a teenage party one night at the YMCA in Atlanta.
He was at a teenage party?
He stayed at the teenage parties. He stayed there. He was at the YMCA with all the middle school and high school students. And that was the first time I ever went out and I met him.
So hold on. Was he throwing the party at least? Or he was just there in attendance?
No, he just there because he used to skate all the time. So he always hung with younger people.
Oh, so he's being a predator then.
He was definitely being a predator.
He don't think so, but I think so. I mean, he was, 22 years old and got pom-poms on his skates.
what kind of drugs did you sell? What were you selling? Was it weed?
I sold crack. I made a lot of money. I mean, because I had two kids at 15. I dropped out of school in the eighth grade. It was only two things I could do in my community, either sell crack or sell and I wasn't doing that.
How'd you get into selling it? Like, how was it the first time? Was it family or was it friends?
No, it was him. Because he was...
The 22-year-old?
Well, yeah. He was selling drugs, so he was paying my rent because I had his two kids. You know, I was the main chick, so he got locked up. Well, I didn't have nobody to pay my rent, and all I had was a welfare check for $235. I'm like, well, I got to make rent. I got two kids. So I had my girlfriend take me to his cousin who sold the drugs, and then I went to my old community. My friend was like, you should come over here. I probably made $1,000 in 2 minutes. And I ended up, I'll never forget, I had my first $100,000 when I was 16 years old.
$100,000?
And I had a learner's license. By 8 cars, and I couldn't drive because I had a learner's license, so I had a crackhead on a day shift, the evening shift, and the night shift who had a valid license so I can drive my drugs and drop it off and stuff like that.
You didn't have problems since y'all were females selling drugs? Like, nobody's trying to take advantage of
you? You don't know me. I'll beat your ass. I don't play that. I take this wig off. You think I play for the Atlanta Falcons? You ain't nobody beat me since he beat me.
I'm trying to rob you.
No, yeah, I got robbed, but you know, I ain't gonna fight over you.
Yeah,
can
that
have
happens.
I was really careful too, cause I always had my kids with me, so people knew.
Did your kids with you selling drugs?
Yeah, and I kept all the crack in her underwear. I mean, that's where you kept
for
it.
For real?
They're not gonna search the kids. Who going in a baby pamper? You gonna just go in a baby pamper?
Right.
And they knew the routine. They knew where to put it. They knew what to do. Everything.
You wasn't scared with them going to school and saying?
Well, I sold crack in front of her school. I was there before the drug-free school zone signs went up. I was grandfathered in when those signs went up. So I didn't have to leave.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But she went to a school that I sold drugs in front of, and she would look out the window. So she come up, I think she's second grade, and she come up to me one day, and she said, Mama, she said, I need to talk to you. I'm like, what do you want? Mind you now, I'm probably 16. Mm-hmm. She said, I get tired of looking at my school window seeing you sell drugs every day. I want to transfer. Oh, I want you to leave this corner. I said, child, I was here first. Where you want to go to school at? I'm not changing my job for your ass. You don't know how much money I'm making out here.
All right, we have more with Miss Pat. When we come back, don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Yeah. No. morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Miss Pat's in the building, an author, comedian, and she has a story. Charlamagne?
Is that your daughter Ashley right there?
Yeah, that's my gay daughter. She want me to tell everybody she gay.
You're not...
why are you like that?
When did you, liked the gay shots out.
When did you find out she was gay?
You know when your child is gay. You know, we be in denial. Mm-hmm. But when I first kind of heard the word gay, my mother-in-law told me she had a licking spirit when she was about 6 years old.
What? Okay, licking spirit, go ahead.
Yeah, she said, Pat, you need to put some olive oil and pray over this kid because she got a licking spirit. And I was like, oh, you ain't got no licking spirit. Your wig got a licking spirit. Well, I kind of thought she was gay, but when she was sucking on them dog titties, I was like, uh-oh, she's sucking the wrong thing. And then
she was sucking the dog.
Let me tell you when I really kind of knew she was gay. So I bought a book called Elon Harris. You know, the author Elon Harris, the gay guy. Right. So I ain't know there was no down low books. So I bought all the Elon Harris books and gave them to her. She couldn't put them down. I was like, what the hell is in that book? I picked it up. It was a down low book. This girl in the fifth grade. I was like, holy crap. And I was like, she gay. So I've been to prison for trafficking cocaine. So I didn't like gay women, but gay men was okay. So when she went out to college, she kind of signs started coming up. Mm-hmm. So she ran off. She ended up dropping out of college and running off and doing her own thing for about 3 years. So finally, you know, this is my child. I love her. I found her, I said, look, I know why you running, because you think I think you gay. Are you gay? I just want to hear it out your mouth. She said, yes, mother, I'm gay. I said, well, come on home and eat. It's cheaper.
How do you grow up with a mom like that?
Well, that's real.
How do you bring
that's
people?
That's real. What you talking about?
With a mom like
she's
that.
A that's gay.
Real. Right. Still trying to figure it out.
And she a gay hoe. Every Thanksgiving, we get a new girlfriend.
Wow.
She just dumped Bigfoot, and she on this old goofy chick now.
You call her Bigfoot?
Bigfoot live in New York.
She's like 6'2". She live in Jersey. She was like 6'2".
I can't.
Yeah, she, these hoes, it only lasts a few months. And I told her, I said, if you eat like your real daddy do, you are a hero. So I see why you
I'm a hero.
Like, you get your ass out of here. Get your ass out of here.
Captain America.
Now, you said you did a year in jail.
Yeah, I did a
year. When did you get caught?
I got caught because my cousin hit the dope wrong.
She told on you?
No. Oh. I kind of took the rap because she was a juvenile, but they sent both of our butts down.
Mm. How long? You said you did almost a year, right?
Yeah, I did a year. And they went and stayed with my friends, and that was the only time in my life that it ever slowed down. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm doing to my kids what was done to me. I have a son that's 30. She's 32. I have a son that's 31. And I was like, I don't want my son to become what society thinks black men are. Mm. I don't want my daughter to go through what I went through and drop out of school. Because, I come from a cycle of every high school dropout, abuse, and drugs. Right. And I was like, I got to break this cycle. So I started praying. I said, look, Lord, I need a good black man with back teeth that can read. I need you to send my kids a daddy.
Back teeth.
Everybody think I said I'm country, but back teeth. Mm-hmm. Back teeth is important on a black man because when you have a wig on and they spitting on you from the side, they'll fuck up your hair. Make your hair fall till you get to the event. So I met a good black man straight out the military that could read and don't punch chicks in the eye on Friday. And he wasn't quite my type. He was kind of like a little thick. But I said, you know what? I'm going to overlook these t's. You got a job. He's the first black man with a credit card I ever saw. I don't mean that prepaid crap.
Not the rush card.
I mean a Visa Master with a limit.
Hey.
And I was like, you about to be two light-skinned kids, daddy. I'm going to deal with you.
So you married him?
Hell yeah, I married him.
Y'all still together now?
Yeah, he done helped me raise 3 sets of crack babies, huh?
I can't.
Now tell me about the time you was in jail and you said that, I guess that's what made you not like gay women? They started trying you or something?
No, I never got ate in jail. I just never liked gay women. I mean, I'm from the South, mm-hmm. So, you know, I was taught if you was gay, it was something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized in life, a lot of times what you don't like, God will put in your life.
So your daughter, yeah.
Yeah.
So your daughter changed your views of
gay
women.
Yeah, she made me open my mind to gay people.
That's not how you asked me was I gay, though. You were like, are you gay? And I was like, yes. You was like, well, you better be the biggest, boldest, baddest gay person there is. So now that I'm the biggest, boldest lesbian that I am, she's like, oh, you just so gay.
She's too gay. Like, she that gay. Over that top gay. I wish she was gay like Ellen. But she gay like Magic Johnson's son.
Salute to EJ. I saw EJ the other night.
He was sexy. He was snatch, baby.
EJ ain't no joke.
I said, EJ, you gorgeous. You make a bitch like me look like a baby mom.
EJ ain't no joke.
It make me want to go get plastic surgery. EJ was together. It's bad when a man can look better than you.
See, it's weird with women because I don't know what a flamboyant gay woman look like. Because to me, when a woman is really gay, she takes more of the manly.
No, this thing right here. Really gay. Like, she the type put a dildos in the dishwasher.
You might have never heard me do nothing like that.
Yeah, anything. I'm telling you, she too gay for me. Like, she eat ice cream like she eating. I'm like, this is ice cream. I'm your mama. I have a bit. I'm telling you.
Now, why's your nickname Rabbit?
My nickname was, I used to like carrots when I was coming up.
Mm.
My stepfather named me Rabbit. So I couldn't use my government name when I was a drug dealer. So I just used my nickname, Rabbit.
Is it true you used to get teased growing up, too?
Teased?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was poor. I used to be the musty kid. So I used to get teased a lot. I mean, my mom used to do, like, it was survival for her, but it was embarrassment for us. Mm-hmm. Like, either we had light or gas, but we never had both at the same time. So a lot of times we only had lights. So to cook, my mama would start a fire in the barbecue grill and fry chicken on the barbecue grill. And everybody had to walk past our house for school. And it's like, oh, Patricia, mama out there frying chicken on the barbecue grill.
Was the chicken good?
Yeah,
and that's all that mattered. I bet you had neighbors coming over asking for a piece of chicken.
No, my mom out there cooking butter beans on a barbecue grill. That ain't no cookout.
Is that where you got your sense of humor from, though? Because since everybody was teasing you, you had to learn to snap back?
Charlamagne, my mama was hilarious. So I think that's where I got my sense of humor from.
She was abusive, too, though, right?
Very abusive. But, you know, I used to hate her, and I had to realize that my mother gave me what she was handed. So, if you know, she ain't taught nothing. She only going to teach me what she taught.
She passed that pain down.
Yeah, she passed that pain down. She died at 39 years old. And when I tell you, I've never seen nobody as miserable as this lady was. Mm. This lady, if you saw her, you'd have thought she was in her 50s or 60s.
Mm.
All she did was cry. She cried all the time about my stepfather leaving her. Oh, Curtis gone. I said, Mom, he been gone 10 years. You still crying?
Mm.
That was one of the things that she had me. Like, I didn't have a father, and she didn't really have a father figure in her life. And my granddaddy beat her mother. So, you know, she had that gap there, and she just picked abusive men. My daddy beat her, boyfriend beat her, everybody beat her.
She would call you ugly, right?
All the time. She thought my sister was way prettier than me. I got acne real early in life, and she was just, my mom always had this thing, she used to talk to us like, ugly bitch. And that was normal conversation.
It's amazing to me how you was able to break that cycle of pain, though, since it was so generational in your family.
I started to love myself after dealing with her daddy. You know, I realized I was searching for something in him, and I cared more about him than myself. I realized I couldn't be a good parent until I started to love myself.
Well, a lot of times when you want to change your life, you got to change your lifestyle.
Yeah, I had to change my lifestyle, and it was not easy.
All right, we have more with Miss Pat when we come back. Don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. The Breakfast Club is back.
Back. Bring it back.
With our best of interviews.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ NV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Miss Pat in the building, author, comedian. Charlamagne?
Did you have any, like, spiritual advisors or counselors? Or, like, what was the turning point for you?
To save my kids when I went to jail. That was a turning point for me. I had to save my kids.
Mm.
I didn't want my daughter to be molested. My mama, in my book, it tells you how my mama looked the other way when her boyfriend was messing with us. So I was like, y'all ain't about to do this shit to my kids.
You was, what, 15? Then I think I read, right?
I was, no, he started before I had a baby.
Mm.
He started messing with us. He would give us $5 when he was
like, hush money type stuff?
Yeah, because we was like probably 10, because I started messing with my kid's father at 12.
Mm-hmm.
So he did it for a couple years.
And when did you make him stop? Or he just stopped on his own?
He stopped when I got with Ashley Daddy. And I never told that story until I wrote that book. Half of that stuff in that book, my husband didn't know till he read the book.
Wow.
My kids didn't even know.
Wow.
My son, who's 31, he called me one day. He started reading the book, and his voice was broke up. I was like, what's wrong, boy? And he was like, Mama, I had no idea that you went through the stuff you went through. And I was like, what's wrong with you? He said, I read your book. I said, I didn't know you could read.
That's what I was thinking.
I was like, you can read? What?
I read you right, boy. But do you think your mother turned a blind eye because she just didn't care because she was an alcoholic?
Well, my mama turned a blind eye because she had 5 kids and she needed help. Mm. Plus, we never really told her. We never told her because he said, if you tell her, I'm not going to be able to feed y'all anymore. I'm not going to be able to help her with rent. And we had moved so much in my life. Like, we would get thrown out every 90 days. And that was the first time, other than my granddad, how we had a little stability. And we knew he was going to bring food, like, at least every Friday. So we kept our mouth shut. I think mentally he made us feel like we was helping out.
Mm. What about the time you almost got beat with a roller skate? Oh, you did get beat with a roller skate.
Oh, my kid's father. That was her daddy.
Okay.
He roller skate. He hit me with a stopper. You ever been hit with a stopper? They don't give. They don't give. He would beat me with anything. And I was about 16 when I finally started fighting back because I shot him too.
Right after he shot you, you shot him?
No, I shot him later. I shot him in the ankle. And it broke his whole leg. So I went to the Grady Hospital in Atlanta to pick him up. You know, he got a lot of baby mamas. Mm-hmm. I go to pick him up. He got his other baby mama picking him up. So I'm pissed off because I shot you so I can take care of you. I didn't shoot you so she can take care of you. So after I shot him and he got his baby mama down, I ran him over with my car and broke his cast. And so they had to take him back in the hospital. So I beeped him. And I snuck in the hospital. I said, now, I shot you so I can come get you. You have her back down here. I'm going to put both of you in the cab.
He was beating on you at the time?
No, he's just sleeping with different baby mamas. I was sick of it.
Damn.
STDs, I always give me crabs, gonorrhea, and fleas. So I was just sick of it.
Do you still see him now?
Yeah, he work at Jiffy Lube. He won't even give me no discount.
How do you look at him now when you see him?
He hates me. Mm. He told me the other day, I was talking to him, and we can only talk about 10 minutes. And he's just out of nowhere. He's like, you know what? I got 9 baby mamas, and you the only one I hate. And I fell out laughing. I was like, dude, I'm still special in your life. But he don't know why he hate me. He hate me because I grew up. I'm not that 12-year-old anymore.
Yeah.
I grew up and became a woman, and I found a man to help raise his kids. I said, you should be thinking this man who stepped in to help raise your kids.
How do you feel about your father, hearing all those stories?
She don't like him.
No, I'm good.
I don't blame you. Did you ever go to therapy or anything, Miss Pat?
Nope. I didn't never go to therapy.
You just seem so strong and so together after everything I'm hearing right now.
You know what? Comedy saved me because I had all that pain built up inside. And the more I started to tell my stories, the more I started to heal.
Well, how'd you get to comedy? I feel like I'm missing a big gap.
So I voted for Bill Clinton, and then right after that, he started the Welfare to Work program. So I had to go through the Welfare to Work program to keep my assistance. And I met a caseworker. And I would tell her, I was like, oh, I've been through all of this. And she was a black lady. She just bust out laughing. And she said, I really think you miss your calling. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she just kept encouraging me to get on stage. And I got on stage at an open mic. And I realized, I said, this is what I want to do. For one thing, it's the only job that I ever had that didn't check my criminal background history.
So what does success look like for you, ultimately, Miss Pat?
I mean, to me, I hope my comedy career land me... I would like to have a sitcom.
I can see that. Your story is a movie already.
Yeah, I would like to have a sitcom. I always said I wanted a book. The book did really well. Hour special. I don't have an hour special yet.
All right, well, Miss Pat, I think sky's the limit for you.
Oh, I think the sky's the limit for me, too. I mean, because I'm honest. I tell people all the time, I don't do cat jokes. I hate to see them white boys do them cat jokes. I just be want to punch them in the bottom of their neck. I'm like, can you go rob a bank so you can have some real stuff to talk about?
Word up. But it's clear that you're here for a real reason after everything you've been through.
So yeah, I mean, I just want people to know that you don't have to dwell. You know, I remember when I first got married and I was feeling sorry for myself because, you know, here I am not selling drugs no more. I got an 8th grade education. What can I do for my kids? And I'll never forget, my husband handed me a tape and it was Outkast when they first came out. And I can't remember the exact track, but he said, listen to this track. And it was
get up, get out, and get something.
And that motivated me too, like a fat girl to the gym. Baby. And I was like, that was my song. I played it, and I played it. It helped me heal from my relationship. It helped me realize that I can do anything that I want to be.
And you don't feel sorry for yourself no more?
Hell no. You know, my family is crazy because they think I'm famous. I'm okay. But now they want to sue me. So, but can't nobody read?
Oh, they want to sue you for telling these stories.
They was my cousin was, and I hope she listened to my mother wasn't like that. I'm like, child, your mother was like that. So they all coming at me for stupid stuff. And I'm going to call all the TV stations and tell them. I said, please tell them so we can do an interview together, crackhead. It's your family. They actually coming after me.
I had to block my sister.
I blocked my crackhead sister on everything. And I told her, I said, when you die, I'm not coming to your funeral. Mm. You just messed up the patty pie I was going to bring you. You just messed it up. I'm going to burn your ass up.
So what they trying to tell you, like, oh, she's lying. She's not telling the truth.
You know what's crazy? When I wrote this book, my sister and my cousin verified. And when I told the story about my mama boyfriend, all I said is, you remember what Mr. John did to us? And my sister told the story. Mm. But all of a sudden, all mama was an angel. I said, how the hell all mama was an angel when you had your first baby at 12 years old and I had my first baby at 14 years old? Is that coming from a mother who's an angel?
Well, you know, the bigger you get, the more success you get, it's going to get worse because they don't want to see you succeed. You're supposed to be at the bottom with them.
Yeah, but nobody tell you to live in the hood all your life. You like gossip like Ray Ray got shot tonight. Mm. I don't have time with that. And I have her four grandkids right now because I took custody. I brought her daughter to Indianapolis to help her get her life together. Well, her daughter ran off and left me with four crack babies. I'm raising a 4, a 6, a 9, and an 8-year-old. I'm supposed to be done.
Right now?
Right now. They in school.
Wow.
But my niece actually, she blocked me on Facebook and I got her four kids. 2 weeks ago, she hit me up after 3 years and said, Pat, can I get a picture of my kids? I said, for what? To motivate me. I said, well, look, baby, you remember those old pictures you had on Facebook? Just scratch them out. The same child, they got a little taller. Get your ass out my inbox. I'm not playing these crackhead games with you. I don't play them crackhead games. Don't play with me, crackhead.
You're going to be fine, Miss Pat.
I think so.
Where can they follow you? Your Instagrams and Twitters and all that good stuff?
Comedian Miss Pat, C-O-M-E-D-I-E-N-N-E, Miss Pat, M-S-P-A-T.
I'm praying for you, and I hope to see you on the big screen, small screen. I just need to see more of Miss Pat. I need more of Miss Pat in my life. What's the name of the book, too, so people can go get the book?
The book is called Rabbit. It's really, really good.
Oh, Miss Pat, man, I think you are amazing.
Well, thank you. Thank you guys for having me.
And I'm glad I met you this week, and I can't wait to see more of you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be on The Breakfast Club.
It's Miss Pat Patricia Williams. Go get her book, Rabbit. It's The Breakfast Club.
Yeah, y'all help me feed them crack babies.
We're here because you're looking for the best of the best of the best.
We'll be right back with our best of interviews.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
He done cursed us out. Tell him, get it off your chest, Birdman.
I said it already. I ain't got to talk no more.
Because I don't understand the angle. I
said it already.
So why come here?
I did it already. I'm here. So what's happening?
I mean, it's all good, but I'm saying why?
And I'm here. What's happening?
I'm all good, but why come here to curse us up?
What's happening, man? I wanted to see you. I wanted to talk to you and your man in your face.
Absolutely.
You understand me? I knew a few places you was at. I could have pulled up, but I don't think that was gangster. I wanted to come look you in your face like a man and tell you how I feel.
Okay.
You understand me? Straight up like a man.
So what's the issue?
No sugar. Ain't no issue. If it was an issue, you'll feel me. I just come to let y'all know, stop, put some respect on my name. You understand me? When y'all saying my name, put some respect on it.
Did you pull up on Ross that way or Trick Daddy?
Man, I'm pulling up on you, nigga.
Yeah, but I'm the radio guy. Why I pull up on the radio guy? Don't act tough with the radio guy.
I hate my nigga. Y'all finished or y'all done? I ain't got no more talking. Let's rock.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, grand opening, grand closing.
All right, well, there you have it.
Nah, we good.
There you have it.
Man, what about all my notes?
We good. That's it. Quickest Breakfast Club interview ever.
Well, that's The Breakfast Club. Our shortest interview ever.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, if you just joined us, Birdman came up here and the interview didn't go that way.
You knew it was going to go that way.
It was very quick.
He was very upset.
From our understanding behind the scenes, he wanted to just come and address some things.
Yeah, he wanted to come. They said he was excited to come, that he wanted to come talk to us.
Listen,
that
man.
He wanted to get some things off his chest, and he did. So let's actually play, because we were, you know, as soon as you walk into this room, we start taping immediately, because we never know.
Yeah, because there's always some good stuff before or after. And go, let's play.
So this is what happened.
What happened when Birdman, as soon as he walked in.
Y'all ready?
Yes, sir.
I want to start this off straight, telling all three of y'all, stop playing with my name.
Let's go on there. Let's go.
Stop playing with my f***ing name.
Let's go. Just do it on camera.
Stop playing with my name.
Let's go right on there.
When my name come up, respect it.
Let's go.
Stop playing with my name. All three of y'all, stop playing with my name. I ain't gonna say it no more.
Here we go. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee.
Right. Now, the reason I kept saying let's go is because the cameraman was taking his time.
We don't waste no good content.
I was like, let's go.
You will not come in here and curse us out, and we're not going to get it on camera.
We're not taping. That's
like,
let's go.
And not get it on the radio.
We were trying to tape it quick. The cameraman was taking his time.
But what happened was Birdman came in here and tried to curse us out.
Right.
To shake up the interview before the interview started, thinking that the interview would be sweet, but it wouldn't have been. We just still asked the questions we wanted to ask.
Right.
Well, he tried to do the intimidation thing. Came in here with like seven guys, you know? And my thing is, yo, anything I've ever said about a person on the radio, I'm going to say to their face.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking if you come in here, you come in here to address those issues.
Right.
That right there, to me, that was some sucker stuff.
Yeah, that's anything we do up here. If we talk about you or make a comment about you, when you come up here, we're going to make that same comment.
I don't like the coming up here just trying to show out on the tough guy.
Sometimes people try to plan to come up here and do certain things.
Don't try to be tough to the radio guys, especially when people like Trick Daddy has been up here. What did Trick Daddy have to say about Birdman?
Let's play the audio.
I've done business with Birdman.
Mm-hmm.
Some are good, some is bad. I just think when you try to be a CEO and you try to be a rapper and you try to be a ladies man and you try to be a girlfriend and you trying
to be a girlfriend.
A Crip and a Blood.
You trying to be a girlfriend?
Why you call him a girlfriend?
I don't know. That's what they said.
Oh, you mean like a
I'm DJ Khaled. I got it from the street.
Okay, and Ross was up here.
Yeah, Ross was up here talking
about Birdman. What
he had
Ross
a beef
say?
Between Wayne and him, and he spoke about it. What's your relationship with Birdman?
I don't have one with Birdman. For me to see the way things are transpiring, I can't respect that, and I don't respect that.
Have you had that convo with Birdman, boss to boss? Like, yo, you need to treat your people better?
Not at all. I mean, that's what I wanted to build my team after, the way they kids was molding together, the way they family was.
Right.
So for me to see this, that's a no-go. They know how I play. Birdman know how I get down. He was in Miami a long time. He know Double M active.
How does that work now, you know, because he's in Miami, like,
ain't
he
in
still
Miami
got
right now.
Oh.
Ain't in Miami right now, but it ain't about telling nobody where they could go. I ain't with that. That's fake talk.
We know who the that Drake signed to is now. Yeah, we figured it out.
Should have been easy.
The Breakfast Club.
EJ, Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for your positive note. Give him some positivity.
Hey, listen, man. The positive note is more like a question, right? And it's January 1st, so I just want to ask y'all one thing. The year is yours. What will you do with it? Huh?
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears. Real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.